Well, good afternoon and evening and whatever time of day it is for you, little children. Hello. As I just said, I think, hello again. And once again, we're doing our study. We have a long reading today. But isn't it exciting, little ones, that we have this new knowledge about the census at the time of Quirinius, about which the Apostle Luke writes, and or the disciple Luke, perhaps we might call him. He was not one of the 12 apostles. But we have Luke writing in chapter 2 about the time when Quirinius was ruling out of Syria. And also, we have the second governorship by Quirinius, which is possible, but that isn't even necessary if we take the rule as governor by Quirinius in 6 CE as being the one referred to by Luke, since it was part of the 14-year cycle of the Roman administration. So let's read chapter 6, paragraph 7. In the first place, no theory is worth recommending if it cannot account for essentially all observed events. Still, we have here a discrepancy of no little thrust. Although a decree by Caesar Augustus made in BCE 9 may be allowed to conclude in BCE 8, can we reconcile more than a one-year allowance for the registration itself? We are greatly indebted to Mr. Ramsey, a distinguished scholar, for his efforts to resolve this misalignment. Some scholars might be willing to concede that this is a small enough problem to be resolved without dispute. Other scholars commonly notice the work of Mr. Ramsey. His opinion is preeminent among them for good reason. Mr. Ramsey states that Palestine did not become a part of the Roman Empire until a second Syrian governorship by Quirinius in 6 CE, or in brackets Anno Domini, which we call AD in the older convention, the naming convention for that era, we call the Common Era now. And that second, until a second Syrian governorship by Quirinius in 6 CE incorporated it. Prior to the second registration, implied also by the reference made at Luke 2 and 2 to the first census. So we have this word first in quotes. So it's clear here that because we have a 14-year cycle and our new understanding has been given recently from Jehovah through internet search and discovery, this incorporation of the nation of Israel into the Roman Empire did not occur until the end of the 14-year cycle, which would be when they had finished paying all their taxes, which is completely in line with everything we've been trying to discover about why this registration, which it was called by Luke, which was announced by Augustus, and we can date that to BCE 9 based on the work of Mr. Ramsey and many others, but we have that date. So 9 is the start of the registration, but the payment of taxes doesn't come until closer to the end of those 14 years. If not at the very end, perhaps the Romans went to the locations of each of these registered Israelites and collected the taxes from them in person at that time at the end of the registration in 6 CE. It's hard to say how it was done at this point. We might learn still more. But it's amazing how we have this, that Judea was not incorporated into, or Israel, into the Roman Empire until 6 CE, because of course, even if the first registration began in BCE 9, And even if Joseph and Mary, with their unborn ward, Jesus, in the belly of Mary, had gone to, as we believe, Bethlehem, in order to be registered, which is 3 years after the beginning of the registration, that's all still possible because there were 14 years during which we now understand the registration took place. It's a marvelous thing, and they were incorporated as a nation, the Israelites were, at the end of those 14 years, which seems perfectly in line with this new understanding. It's remarkable. They couldn't be incorporated until they paid their taxes. Makes perfect sense. Amazingly, amazingly. Our proverb, or in this case, Ecclesiastes verse for today, little children, it's Ecclesiastes 10 and 2. The heart of the wise is at his right hand, but the heart of the stupid at his left hand. And now, see if we can do our Deuteronomy, which is a long reading. Deuteronomy 28. We have a fair bit of time. Moses, yet speaking to the Israelites on the east bank of the Jordan River, north of the Dead Sea and opposite Jericho, Moses said, "And it must occur that if you will without fail listen to the voice of Jehovah your God by being careful to do all his commandments that I am commanding you today, Jehovah your God will also put you high above all other nations of the earth. And all these blessings must come upon you and overtake you because you keep listening to the voice of Jehovah your God. Blessed will you be in the city and blessed will you be in the field. Blessed will be the fruit of your belly and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your domestic beast, the young of your cattle and the progeny of your flock. Blessed will be your basket and your kneading trough. Blessed will you be when you come in, and blessed will you be when you go out. Jehovah will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. By one way they will come out against you, but by seven ways they will flee before you. Jehovah will decree for you the blessing on your stores of supply and every undertaking of yours, and he will certainly bless you in the land that Jehovah your God is giving you. Jehovah will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he swore to you, because you continue to keep the commandments of Jehovah your God, and you have walked in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth will have to see that Jehovah's name has been called upon you, and they will indeed be afraid of you. Jehovah will also make you overflow indeed with prosperity in the fruit of your belly, and the fruit of your domestic animals, and the fruitage of your ground, on the ground that Jehovah swore to your forefathers to give you. Verse 12, Jehovah will open up to you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give the rain on your land in its season and to bless every deed of your hand, and you will certainly lend to many nations while you yourself will not borrow. And Jehovah will indeed put you at the head, and not at the tail. And you must come to be only on top, and you will not come to be on the bottom, because you keep obeying the commandments of Jehovah your God, which I am commanding you today to observe and to do." I might have an allergy to coconut or something, because I've been eating some coconut chocolate balls. "And you must not turn aside from all the words that I am commanding you today, to the right or to the left, to walk after other gods, to serve them. And it must occur that if you will not listen to the voice of Jehovah your God by taking care to do all his commandments and his statutes that I am commanding you today, all these maledictions must also come upon you and overtake you. Cursed will you be in the city, and cursed will you be in the field. Cursed will be your basket and your kneading trough. Cursed will be the fruit of your belly and the fruitage of your ground, the young of your cattle and the progeny of your flock. Cursed will you be when you come in, and cursed will you be when you go out. Jehovah will send upon you the curse, confusion and rebuke in every undertaking of yours that you try to carry out, until you have been annihilated and have perished in a hurry because of the badness of your practices, in that you have forsaken me. Jehovah will cause pestilence to cling to you until he has exterminated you from off the ground to which you are going to take possession of it. Jehovah will strike you with tuberculosis and burning fever and inflammation and feverish heat and the sword and scorching and mildew, and they will certainly pursue you until you have perished. Your skies that are over your head must also become copper, and the earth that is beneath you iron. Jehovah will give powder and dust as the rain of your land. From the heavens it will come down upon you until you have been annihilated. Jehovah will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. By one way you will go out against them, and by seven ways you will flee before them, and you must become a frightful object to all the earth's kingdoms, and your dead body must become food for every flying creature of the heavens and to the beast of the field, with no one to make them tremble. Jehovah will strike you with the boil of Egypt and piles and eczema and skin eruption, from which you will not be able to be healed. Jehovah will strike you with madness and loss of sight and bewilderment of heart, and you will indeed become one who gropes about at midday, just as a blind man gropes about in the gloom, and you will not make your ways successful. And you must become only one who is always defrauded and robbed, with no one to save you. Defrauded and robbed. You will become engaged to a woman, but another man will rape her. You will build a house, but you will not dwell in it. You will plant a vineyard, but you will not begin to use it. Your bull slaughtered there before your eyes, but you will not eat any of it. Your ass taken in robbery from before your face, but it will not return to you. Your sheep given to your enemies, but you will have no savior. Your sons and your daughters given to another people, and your eyes looking on and yearning for them always, but your hands will be without power. The fruitage of your ground and all your production, a people will eat whom you have not known. And you must become one who is only defrauded and crushed always, and you will certainly become maddened at the sight of your eyes that you will see. Jehovah will strike you with a malignant boil upon both knees and both legs, from which you will not be able to be healed. From the sole of your foot to the crown of your head, Jehovah will march you and your king, whom you will set up over you, to a nation whom you have not known, neither you nor your forefathers, and there you will have to serve other gods of wood and stone. And you must become an object of astonishment, a proverbial saying and a taunt among all the peoples to whom Jehovah will lead you away. A lot of seed you will take out to the field, but little you will gather, because the locusts will devour it. Vineyards you will plant and certainly cultivate, but you will drink no wine and gather nothing in, because the worm will eat it up. You will come to have olive trees in all your territory, but you will rub yourself with no oil, because your olives will drop off. Sons and daughters you will bring forth, but they will not continue yours, because they will go off into captivity. All your trees and the fruitage of your ground, whirring insects, will take in possession. The alien resident who is in your midst will keep ascending higher and higher above you, while you will keep descending lower and lower. He will be the one to lend to you, while you will not lend to him. He will become the head, while you will become the tail. And all these maledictions will certainly come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you have been annihilated, because you did not listen to the voice of Jehovah your God by keeping his commandments and his statutes that he commanded you. And they must continue on you and your offspring as a sign and a portent to time indefinite. The maledictions, that is, due to the fact that you did not serve Jehovah your God with rejoicing and joy of heart for the abundance of everything, and you will have to serve your enemies, whom Jehovah will send against you, with hunger and thirst and nakedness and the want of everything, and he will certainly put an iron yoke upon your neck until he has annihilated you. Jehovah will raise up against you a nation far away from the end of the earth, just as an eagle pounces a nation whose tongue you will not understand, a nation fierce in countenance, who will not be partial to an old man or show favor to a young man, and they will certainly eat the fruit of your domestic animals and the fruitage of your ground until you have been annihilated. and they will let no grain, new wine, or oil, no young of your cattle, or progeny of your flock remain for you until they have destroyed you. They will indeed besiege you within all your gates until your high and fortified walls in which you are trusting fall in all your land. Yes, they will certainly besiege you within all your gates in all your land which Jehovah your God has given you. Because of the tightness and stress with which your enemy will hem you in. As for the very delicate and dainty man among you, his eye will be evil inclined toward his brother and his cherished wife, and the remainder of his sons whom he has remaining, so as not to give one of them any of the flesh of his sons that he will eat, because he has nothing at all remaining to him, because of the tightness and stress with which your enemy will hem you in within all your gates. As for the delicate and tiny and dainty woman among you who never attempted to set the sole of her foot upon the earth for being of dainty habit and for delicateness, her eye will be evil inclined toward her cherished husband and her son and her daughter, even toward her afterbirth that comes out from between her legs and toward her sons whom she proceeded to bear, because she will eat them in secrecy for the want of everything because of the tightness and stress with which your enemy will hem you in within your gates. If you will not take care to carry out all the words of this law that are written in this book, so as to fear this glorious and fear-inspiring name, even Jehovah your God, Jehovah also will certainly make your plagues and the plagues of your offspring especially severe, great and long-lasting plagues, and malignant and long-lasting sicknesses. And he will indeed bring back upon you all the diseases of Egypt before which you got scared, and they will certainly hang on to you. Also, any sickness and any plague that is not written in the book of this law, Jehovah will bring them upon you until you have been annihilated. And you will indeed be left with very few in number, although you have become like the stars of the heavens for multitude, because you did not listen to the voice of Jehovah your God. And it must occur that just as Jehovah exulted over you to do you good and to multiply you, so Jehovah will exult over you to destroy you and to annihilate you. And you will simply be torn away from off the soil to which you are going to take possession of it. And Jehovah will certainly scatter you among all the peoples from the one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. And there you will have to serve other gods whom you have not known, neither you nor your forefathers, wood and stone. And among those nations you will have no ease, nor will there prove to be any resting place for the sole of your foot. And Jehovah will indeed give you there a trembling heart and a failing of the eyes and despair of soil. Soul. And you will certainly be in the greatest peril for your life and be in dread night and day, and you will not be sure of your life. In the morning you will say, if only it were evening, and in the evening you will say, if only it were morning, because of the dread of your heart with which you will be in dread, and because of the sight of your eyes that you will see. And Jehovah will certainly bring you back to Egypt by ships, by the way about which I have said to you, you will never see it again. And you will have to sell yourselves there to your enemies as slave men and maidservants, but there will be no buyer. Imagine, you will have to sell yourself, but there will be no buyer. How much worse can it get? Is a question that might come to mind. Let's look at Revelation chapter 13. So, in verse 12, let's see. The dragon stood still upon the sand of the sea. And I saw a wild beast ascending out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads. And upon its horns 10 diadems, but upon its heads blasphemous names. Now the wild beast that I saw was like a leopard, but its feet were as those of a bear. And its mouth was as a lion's mouth. And the dragon gave to the beast its power and its throne and great authority. And I saw one of its heads as though slaughtered to death, but its death stroke got healed, and all the earth followed the wild beast with admiration. And they worshiped the dragon because it gave the authority to the wild beast. And they worshipped the wild beast with the words, "Who is like the wild beast, and who can do battle with it?" And a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies was given it, and authority to act 42 months was given it, and it opened its mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his residence, even those residing in heaven. And there was granted to it to wage war with the holy ones and conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and tongue and nation, and all those who dwell on the earth will worship it. The name of not one of them stands written in the scroll of life of the Lamb who was slaughtered from the founding of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is meant for captivity, he goes away into captivity. If anyone will kill with the sword, he must be killed with the sword. Here is where it means the endurance and faith of the holy ones. And I saw another beast, a wild beast, ascending out of the earth, and it had two horns like a lamb, but it began speaking as a dragon. And it exercises all the authority of the first wild beast in its sight, and it makes the earth and those who dwell in it worship the first wild beast whose death stroke got healed, and it performs great signs so that it should even make fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the sight of mankind. And it misleads those who dwell on the earth because of the signs that were granted it to perform in the sight of the wild beast, while it tells those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the wild beast that had the sword stroke and yet revived. And there was granted it to give breath to the image of the wild beast, so that the image of the wild beast should both speak and cause to be killed all those who would not in any way worship the image of the wild beast. And it puts under compulsion all persons, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free and the slaves, that they should give these a mark in their right hand or upon their forehead, and that nobody might be able to buy or sell except a person having the mark, the name of the wild beast, or the number of its name. Here is where here's where wisdom comes in. Let the one that has intelligence calculate the number of the wild beast, for it is a man's number, and its number is 666. Now that was also the number of talents that Solomon used to bring home by ships. In gold, the number of talents of gold. And it was the gold of Ophir, if I remember. Now let's conclude our Bible study for today, young ones, and let's see what else we can do. We have 10 minutes about. It's very, very warm. I'm going to turn on the air conditioning, which will be unfortunate, but it's very getting warm and very warm. So I need to cool down the area now, the room. So right. Hopefully this is good. There we go. I'm trying to get the visibility of my face slightly improved, but anyway, we have many things that we can learn from Jehovah's Word. I mean, the Bible is the only book that we know of that has the kind of fame of being called God's own word, the inspired scriptures. There is no other book that relates such, the word of God is alive, according to Hebrews 4:12, and it exerts power. It's a powerful word. God is Almighty God, the Almighty God. He can do anything at any time, should he have the need to do so, in order to serve mankind, or, you know, ensure the fulfillment of his purpose, or, you know, defend his faithful ones. But that doesn't mean that there aren't times when faithful servants of Jehovah are killed, as we see in the book of Revelation. That sometimes does occur, but it is in the Bible that we read about a resurrection. and the hope of the resurrection, which is guaranteed by the resurrection of Jehovah's Son, Jesus, his only Son. Everyone else having been created through his Son in the pre-human manifestation of the spirit creature called wisdom and called the Word, whom we also know as the human in his later descent to earth as Jesus, who was born to the Virgin Mary and adopted by her husband, her husband-to-be, Joseph, and was raised in Nazareth because of the threat that all the young boys would be killed due to the order of King Herod, who was the King Herod who ruled for 34 years from 37 BCE and thus died in 4, began to rule in 34, no, in 37. He ruled for 34 years beginning in BCE 37 and ending in BCE 4 is what I'm trying to say. 37 minus 4 is 33, but the years are taken inclusively. So, in this case, when they're taken inclusively, BCE 37 to BCE 4 is actually correct, according to Josephus, who gives the rule of Herod as 34 years. Not a long period of time where Josephus could make a mistake over such a any period longer than 34, or any, that is, any period longer than, much longer, I should say. I'm stumbling over my words because, you know, I still have some confusion in my head due to the physical problems I'm suffering. But, no, from the point, the point is, it's a perfectly acceptable conclusion that Herod died in BCE 4, not any other date. And the fact that is presented by some people that all the events in Herod's life could not be crammed into the time period that was supposed for, specifically the time period which was from an identifiable date late in his life until the date which is proposed and, you know, verified as being his date of death. But those events don't need to be crammed into that time period. People don't understand that just because a number of events takes, you know, is written about in a history, and each of these events takes a certain number of days, and you add up the number of days, and you say, well, they all have to fit within a 28-day period. But then you add them all up, and you don't consider that any of them could be overlapping in any way. That makes no sense, because history's not usually told in such an accurate way as to know about the overlap of different events. That's very common. So we found in our genealogy, when we studied the time of the judges of Israel, we found that we were able to explain it very, very well by assuming the overlap of certain events within the chronology of the judges, and only the overlaps which made sense were even considered. But this may be read about in the article called Crucible of Credible Creed, where we talk about the judges toward the end of that article. And the remarkable exact alignment with known secular history that occurs when we do our treatment without even trying to align with these secular dates. The alignment just occurs on its own. It's extremely remarkable, extremely beautiful, it's extremely you know, acceptable and reliable because of the way it occurred, but also because of the way in which it explains everything effortlessly. So, I mean, this is the same with the case of the death of Herod. If we were to add one more year and say he died 1 year later because of this nonsensical issue about the days, his final days not adding up to the right number, which is something that could never be relied upon. Instead of relying upon Josephus saying he ruled for 34 years from BCE 37 to BCE 4, which is much simpler, and it meets all the requirements of the presence of an eclipse and everything that was needed there, and not to mention the fact that it's also the most widely accepted date for Herod's death. But everything, I mean, there's so many things. And it's confirmed also by our own independent dating of the birth of Jesus in BCE 6, which is 2 years earlier. And we recall that Herod made the command for the execution of boys 2 years and under, which perfectly agrees with our birth date, therefore, of Christ in BCE 6, given the date for Herod's death, established by the known date of BCE 37 and the number of years, inclusive 34 years, when we take it inclusively, which is given by Josephus as the number of years of the reign of Herod prior to his death. Everything fits. We don't need to know a lot of complex theories about why we should pursue a way to make it not work, which is what people are doing. That's what they do with all inspired writings, and all inspired, not that Josephus is inspired, but with all, they do this with all inspired writings as well, with any truth. Anything inspired, anything truthful is maybe considered inspired, I suppose. So why not? Because if it's truthful, it must be guided by the Holy Spirit. I think we're done. This is great. This has been a great discussion. But there's no reason to follow these people who seek any way that they can to make the Bible be untrue and therefore try to refute its inspiration. But we believe the inspiration of the Bible. And we can believe it. And then we can see how the blessings flow into our lives. So it's now September 6th, 2023. It's 2046 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green. It's time to conclude the video. I'm in love. I love you. I love you. I'm trying to share with you what I can. This is Crow, my chronograph, made by Hamilton. And this is, I can't do it. Hang on, I can't do it. This is Cassie, because I've got my microphone in my way. This is Cassie, my Casio watch. And they are saying, bye for now.